Chapter 4, GI Complaints.
Could you start by telling me how old you are?
42.
And what's the reason for coming to the ER?
Nausea for the last four days. Not stopping. And pain right in the middle of my stomach. Burning. A little bit of pressure.
How bad is that, 0 to 10?
Say about at 8 right now. Very annoying.
When this started about 4 days ago, did you have any diarrhea at that time?
Yes, diarrhea.
How many times did you have diarrhea? One time?
Yeah.
Okay. Any blood?
No.
Okay. And what other medical problems do you have?
I'm HIV positive.
You taking your medications?
Yes.
Okay. When you've been throwing up, does anything come up that looks like blood or coffee grinds?
Yes, coffee grounds. I even get some color, like a blood clot, you know, come out.
And do you feel lightheaded or dizzy?
Just weak. Really, really weak.
How about any ibuprofen, Motrin, Naproxen? Are you taking anything like that regularly?
No.
Aspirin?
No.
And do you drink alcohol?
No.
Have you been having fevers or chills?
I felt like I've had chills and fever like at the beginning. After I'd throw up, I'd be really, you know, sweaty and feverish, it felt like, and it would go away.
You were told in the past that you have diverticulosis or diverticulitis?
Yes.
And have you had to go on antibiotics in the past for that?
Probably about 3 months ago.
Any other symptoms, any other recent illnesses, new medications, anything else new?
Yes, there is my new HIV meds. Mm-hmm. I started that. I don't think it had anything to do with it.
When did you start that?
A few weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have a doctor who follows you pretty closely for this?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Very intimidating. So much going on here. You're like, where do I start with this gentleman? But I think an organized approach to it is, hey, look, the gentleman has had diverticulitis before. He's had treatment for that. And now he's coming back in. We have to make sure this is not another abdominal surgical emergency. And so he's going to get a full workup, a full abdominal workup, in my view, just like any patient that came with those complaints. But at the end of the day, for example, say his CT was negative and there's nothing terribly alarming on his blood work and his vitals are okay. This is a gentleman who's being treated and whose immune system is relatively intact because you know that his CD4 count is above 500 and he's taking his therapy. So if I don't find anything in terms of a emergency that requires a surgical consult or admission, there's a good chance that I'll be able to follow this patient as an outpatient after sending all the cultures at the end of my workup.
And you know, one other thing that I found out about this patient is that he was briefly put on Lovenox because his primary doctor thought that he may have had a DVT. And then once the ultrasound came back negative, he stopped it. But he was just on this little stint of Lovenox and now he's got this complaint of a possible GI bleed. I feel like this guy could have anything. I mean, he could have reasons to have an upper GI bleed. He could have diverticulitis. He could have something infectious. It may or may not be related to his HIV.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is that he had some, you know, bloody emesis and he was taking Lovenox briefly. And so you could make an argument that you need to observe him to make sure that that settles down and that his hemoglobin doesn't drop.
So we'll come back to this patient in a little bit, but I think we should focus for a moment on the GI-related infections and complications that can happen in AIDS patients. And we can start from the mouth and work our way down through the entire GI tract.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the common things. The first thing is thrush, oral candidiasis, very, very common. You can easily tell that one because when you look at the white stuff that's on their tongue and in their mouth, it scrapes off nicely with the tongue blade. And that's generally treated with nystatin, with clotrimazole troches that they can put in their mouth. And that's usually not the biggest deal. What's more concerning is when that fungus goes all the way down the esophagus. Mm-hmm. And so the patient that comes in with odynophagia, they have a lot of pain swallowing. Mm-hmm. That's a patient that when you look in their mouth and you see the thrush, you kind of put two and two together and you think, geez, I see there's fungus in the mouth and he's got so much pain when he's swallowing. And that's when you think it could be something quite serious, which is esophageal candidiasis.
Which at that point is an AIDS-defining illness.
Exactly.
Right.
Usually only happens to people have CD4 counts that are less than 100. And there's other things it can be too. I mean, it can be HSV, it can be CMV, but I think the commonest thing is candida. And that's often why we start empiric treatment with fluconazole in the emergency department.
So moving down, patients who come in with abdominal pain, they're actually at higher risk for acalculus cholecystitis compared to non-AIDS patients. And also, anytime there's anything infectious going on, it can cause a lead point. So we think of intussusception in pediatric patients, but it can actually happen in AIDS patients too, secondary to inflammation or maybe even malignancy.
I've actually seen intussusception in two patients with AIDS, and they both turned out to have a lymphoma that was the lead point. And so the fact that patients with HIV can have lymphatic enlargements, the fact they can have cancers and tumors in their GI tract, like lymphomas and Kaposi sarcomas, can also act as lead points and cause intussusception.
Let's move on and talk about diarrhea. And some of the things you want to think about for this patient's case would be just sort of the run-of-the-mill bacterial causes of diarrhea. So you're going to be sending off stool leukocytes, ova and parasites, and bacterial cultures. Now, for the really sick AIDS patients, more end-stage illness, you want to worry more about parasites and fungal infections. So Cryptosporidium and Isospora are the ones that are classically taught, and those usually have profuse, watery diarrhea. If you get an acid-fast stain of the stool, it's positive, and you're going to treat them with Bactrim. And then there's some fungal causes of diarrhea as well in end-stage AIDS patients. Cryptococcus and Histoplasma are the ones to think of.
And in addition to the infectious causes, don't forget that a lot of the ART medications cause GI symptoms. And so anytime, like in this case, where there's a change in medications, that has to be a consideration as well.
And then we also got to think about proctitis. And just like any patient with proctitis, they're going to have pain with defecation. They may have rectal discharge, and they can also complain of tenesmus. What's tenesmus, Stuart?
It's a sense of rectal urgency. I'm not kidding. That's what it is. Okay. It's tenesmus. It's like a cramp that you feel you have to go to the number two. And that's what tenesmus is. It's this feeling that you have to go number two. I wouldn't make it up.
Okay. And so for these patients, you want to get swabs for all of the co-infections that occur with high-risk sexual activity, like gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, and herpes.
That's right. Here it's all about the co-infections. So you might have herpes simplex, which you can treat with acyclovir, but you could have syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea. So you're going to be sending some swabs for those things as well. You got to keep an open mind with the proctitis.
So GI, let's talk about some of the GI issues you can have with HIV/AIDS. So oropharyngeal candidiasis is super common. A little bit of candida in the oropharynx is not a big deal. You treat it with clotrimazole and nystatin sort of suspension. If it goes into the esophagus, this is a bigger deal. This is usually your CD4 count's gotten pretty low, and you can actually spontaneously perforate your esophagus at that point. And the treatment for these people is oral fluconazole or ketoconazole. If they're sicker, they have to be admitted for IV therapy. Abdominal pain, all the usual stuff, plus they get acalculus cholecystitis, and intussusception, which we think of as a problem in kids, becomes a problem in these patients because of malignancies resulting in sort of lead points for your bowel to swallow the bowel. Diarrhea is so super common. The number of potential pathogens is quite overwhelming. And a lot of the time, no cause is found. It just keeps happening. So you have to send a bunch of stool. They have to get worked up. If they're sick, they stay. This is often best done as an outpatient because they need multiple samples. And some people will just treat empirically initially with something like TMP sulfur and then follow up and see what happens. Proctitis, on the other hand, is a little bit different. Proctitis, that pain on defecation, the sense of tenesmus and urgency. Well, you've got to check these people for gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, herpes simplex virus. Do a good exam. Now, that's a very superficial overview, but I think they did a really good job of it. But it's the diarrhea thing that's the real problem. There are so many different agents that can cause diarrhea. They really need to work up. And that's why it's so important to have these patients plugged in, because it's not something you can work out within the usual time frame of an emergency department or urgent care visit. What you have to do is sometimes just make sure, are they well hydrated? I'll get them followed up. Maybe I'll try some empiric antibiotics, and maybe I'll send off the initial stool studies, but knowing that stool studies can be very expensive. And how do you target them? Again, not often something that you can do well in the emergency department. Really requires a specialist and follow-up for chronic diarrhea. You just make sure they're doing okay. Maybe try something empiric. Let's go on a tangent for a little bit here, because Stuart's talking about once these patients become very immune suppressed, then there's a whole bunch of reactivation, particularly herpes syndromes that can occur. Just listen to the prof. He'll explain.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting that when you get into this immunocompromised state of AIDS, the herpes viruses, all of them, they can just take over. And remember, these are viruses that most of us have a few of them in our system, You know, we acquire these things as we go through life. HSV-1, HSV-2, Epstein-Barr virus, CMV.
Mm-hmm. Zoster.
Zoster, varicella zoster virus. You know, we acquire these things quite commonly and we live with them. But when we get AIDS, they all come out of the woodwork. And so the full spectrum of herpes virus needs to be considered in an HIV patient. And then, of course, the other major thing is the fungi. You know, these are things that we live with until we get immunocompromised, and then they kind of get the better of us.
Peer review.
For the AIDS patient with thrush, our HIV specialist, Dr. Jacobson, says that the current guideline is to treat with Diflucan 100 milligrams just one time, but that really doesn't seem enough in her experience, and so they often prescribe it for up to 1 week. And speaking of thrush, when you think of thrush, you probably think of these big, thick white plaques on the tongue and in the mouth and in the pharynx, but actually it doesn't always look like that. Sometimes it looks just like hyperemia, more like a diaper rash in the posterior palate, or as an angular chelitis in adults, which are those red kind of crusty sores in the corners of the mouth. Patients who have candida not just in their mouth, so not just thrush, but they have candidal esophagitis, they're more likely to say that they feel like they just can't swallow. And that's a little bit more common than feeling pain with swallowing. So more dysphagia than odynophagia. And when they swallow, they may say that they feel like the food is getting stuck on its way down or sticking or slow to go down. And if that's the case, you should treat this empirically. Actually, whether it's candidal esophagitis or thrush, treat either one empirically. And that's going to be Diflucan. Diflucan should take care of it. They should get better within about 2 to 3 days. And if they're not feeling better, then at that point, they need a scope. Because you got to go looking for herpes simplex and CMV. And the AIDS patient with diarrhea. So most of the time, if it's just this watery, voluminous diarrhea, that's going to be cryptosporidium. So watery diarrhea in an AIDS patient, you're thinking cryptosporidium. Cryptosporidium. Tons of watery diarrhea. It can be other stuff too, which is far less common. So like we talked about, it can be Isospora or Microsporidia and more rarely MAC. But really, I want you to remember, voluminous watery diarrhea, think Cryptosporidium.